Let's look here in the book of Leviticus this morning. I want to preach to you on a subject that people don't go to church for. Because all they ever talk about is giving. So I want to make sure that if you're one of those people, that you can say that after you've been here today. But giving is an act of love. I mean, think about it. It's an act of love. In fact, I'm going to go to another word at this moment. The word is tithe. It's a big amount. But God so loved, He gave us life, and He gave us the privilege of new life in Christ. Chapter number 27 of the book of Leviticus. I want to read verses 30 down to verse 34. Verse 30, it begins, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is" who? "The Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof." God says, if you borrow it, you're going to pay interest on it. "And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, and it shall not be redeemed." In other words, they both belong to God. "These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today that you love us so that you have given. You've given us life in creation. And Lord, you've given us new life through recreation through the Lord Jesus. How we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that somehow our love for you might increase, might become like yours, and Lord, that we might give of ourselves to you. Lord, we pray you bless in this morning's message. I pray, O God, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, do that which only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Let me say it again. Everything belongs to God. He made it. But we also find that He redeemed it. And God is asking you and I, because of that, to give back a tenth of it because it's His. Brother Kimmel used to say, you cannot give to God until you first of all gave Him what is His. In other words, you cannot really give to God until after you've given 10%. Interesting thought. But God is asking that we give 10% back to Him of our increase, which is our wages, basically. I would say to you, as a Christian, we need to learn to live on 90%. Matter of fact, it'd be better if it was 80%. And if we do that early in life. I'm so thankful today that I got saved before I was married. And when marriage came, tithing was already in place. And it was there at the very beginning, has been all the way through. And just learn to do that. I believe this morning the first step to fiscal freedom is learning how to put God first in our finances. Seriously. If we don't put God first, then we cannot expect for God's blessing to be added to us. What a lesson we need to learn. And really, when you stop and think about it, we give to God because we love God. Interesting as we think about it. Well, I'd like for us this morning just think about a few different things. First of all, I want us to think about, as we give to God, it's an operation of our faith. In other words, our faith is exercised when we give to God. I mean, quite seriously, in our economy today, could we not say that I could use every bit of it? But faith is an operational principle that becomes very practical as we practice it day by day. Giving away when you have so many needs and so many desires, it's an operation of faith in the Word of God. Turn with me. It's a very familiar section in the book of Malachi. In the book of Malachi, chapter number 3. Malachi, as he writes this book, is charging the people of God with a number of things that have been wrong in their lives. And one of the things that he says to the people is that they have robbed God. Verse number 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Notice God's answer. In tithes and offerings. And then he says in verse 9, "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Please understand something this morning. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. I don't believe this morning that if you're saved and you're right with God, you're going to be filthy rich. Riches are a whole lot more than dollar bills. But I do believe that when you and I are faithful to God, He is faithful to us to take care of us. And when you and I believe God in this area, and we believe God, we have faith that God will indeed open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. It's an operation of faith. It's an operation of faith that we believe that God somehow will rebuke the devourer of your income. Now, there's a lot of devourers of income. I mean, everywhere you go, there's devourers. And listen, you can drive down the road and there's a devourer income. What's it do? There's a nail sticks up, pokes a hole in your tire, and you've got to go to the tire shop, and 120, 130, 140, 160, 180, whatever kind of tires you got, is right out the door. Yeah. I mean, you go downstairs, maybe it's not downstairs, but you go to your washing machine and you put a load of wash in that thing and you do all the gadgets, push the buttons, you got the water all on, and you push that thing that goes down and nothing. Or you might have, I mean, you have all sorts of noises and you are, what is going on? A devourer has struck. Now he's going to be there. And God takes us through the devourers. He will bless us. But when we're not willing to put God first, He is not restraining the devourer. In other words, God's saying to the devourer, it's open season. It's open season. You can do what you want. Faith is that we believe God somehow will bless our land. I believe America has been blessed because of this very principle in the past. But our actions in recent years, I believe, is changing the economy of America. Oh, let me scare the fire out of you right now. I read from a leading economist, let me rephrase that, a think group study group, that are very well known for their forecasts, and they are predicting July 1st, they're laying it down to a date, July 1st, the dollar will collapse. Oh no, what am I going to do? God's dollar never collapses. Amen? Yeah, I don't know what you do, but God knows. And he can rebuke the devourer. I know what some of you are going to go into now. That's all you've heard in this whole mess. You're going to go home. You're going to, your nails are going. You're going to look. I mean, you're going to think afterwards that you got a corn cob in your hand after you've eaten all the rows off of it. Faith is saying, God, I love you. I'm given to you. And I believe that somehow you're going to take care of me as a result of it. Faith is exercised. Faithfulness, I believe, is encouraged. A steward is one who is left in charge of another's wealth. Who does the earth belong to? It belongs to God. Everything that we see, it belongs to God. God made it. It's His. But God put us here in charge of it. That makes us stewards. You say, oh, you don't understand, preacher. That title, that car is in my name. It doesn't belong to God. It belongs to me. Yeah, we'll see in a few years when it's over at Alders. We are left in charge of another's wealth. And it's required in us as stewards, the Bible says, that a man be found faithful. In other words, God wants us to use it properly. An unfaithful steward is an embezzler. That's a sophisticated term for thief. What does it say there in Malachi? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. God calls one who withholds what He has said. Hey, this is to show that you understand I own everything. This is to show that you believe me. And so you take 10% of your increase and you give it to me. And the one who doesn't, God says, you're a thief. And God curses you. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. What is the tithe? Well, it's basically faith exercise. It's faithfulness encouraged. It's faith enlisted. It's putting it to work. You see, God has a reason for the tithe. In the Old Testament, we find that God had the tithe brought in that the Levite who was serving God in the temple day after day after day, that he might have finances for his living. In the book of Numbers, 18:21 says, behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their servants which they serve. By the way, they were to tithe as well. But it was given to them because of their service, that they might be able to accomplish the job that was there. The Levite, by the way, was chosen by God instead of the firstborn in every family. Boy, aren't you glad that you don't have to support your older brother? But seriously, that's really what it's about. That they might be the priests. And here's that tribe that is for that. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we notice in the New Testament the principle is the same. It's just applied a little bit differently. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we'll go to verse number 7. It says, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charge? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For as written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of our oxen? Or saith it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. He goes on, verse 11, notice what he says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they that wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. That's Old Testament. Verse 14, New Testament. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should what? Live of the gospel. Okay? So there are certain individuals that they partake of that. Okay? And their needs are supplied for that. To stop the tithe is to stop the ministers of God from teaching and preaching and ultimately stopping the gospel. In the Old Testament, this was a grievous sin that God dealt with very severely. We've seen that in verse 33 of Leviticus. He put in the book of Malachi that action on the same par as robbery. It's robbery of God's men. It's a robbery of the sinner's message of salvation. God wants to understand something today. When we love Him, we give to Him. But God has so ordained in Old Testament times that which was given to Him was used for those who were the priestly tribe. They didn't own land. They didn't have farms that they went to and raised their crops. They didn't have the means of supporting themselves. They were supported by those who gave. Just the way it worked. In the New Testament, God has done the same thing. The principle has remained. It's not a tribe of Levites, but it's the pastor and others within the church. They're supported by the tithe. It's to take care of them. Interesting scenario. I believe as a result of that, God enriches our futures. Our financial future, I believe, is determined by what we do with the increase. You say, well, preacher, I've seen people who they rob for God and they look like they were getting along very good. You need to read Psalm chapter 73 and do what David did until I entered into the sanctuary. You realize the end results. God says some very interesting things. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9, He says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy precious shall burst out with new wine. I had an interesting call this morning. Actually, I was making a call back, and a fellow wanted to know one thing about a church. And which, when you know this, it says a lot of different things. But he said, which Bible do you use? Now, I knew exactly what he wanted to know. I wanted to say Holy Bible, but I knew what he was saying. I said, we don't use anything but the King James Version. Which was what he was looking for. And you'll probably see him next week. Anyways, we say, man, I stand on that book. Do we believe it? Do we believe it about finances? And so the Lord, He tells us, we bring Him the increase, and God says He will bless us. There in the book of Proverbs, I mean, He makes it very, very obvious to us that we bring the first fruits and the barns will be filled with plenty. That does not mean that you're going to get filthy rich. It means that you will be able to eat and have your needs met. Well, God doesn't meet my needs the way He does old Uncle Joe. Well, maybe you don't need beefsteak. Maybe you need beans. By the way, do you know beans have more protein than beef anyways? I mean, just think of it. You get music with it. So, I mean, God blesses. God is not an author of falsehood. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. These are familiar things in most of you, but God says, give and it shall be what? Given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. How many have ever went to a store because they were giving away something free? Huh? Hey, a great time to shop Sam's. Any of you folks Sam shoppers? Saturday mornings, about 11 o'clock. You don't have to buy lunch. Yeah. I read the article in Reader's Digest. A guy, he used to get his son, and they went every Saturday morning. His wife had to work, and so they had this little date every Saturday morning, and they called it the Silver Bullet. That was the shopping basket. And so he put his son in the Silver Bullet, and he said we'd stop at all these different places and get all these different snacks that people were giving away. And then he said, and we'd leave. Do you know why stores give stuff away free? Now, why are all these vendors there at Sam's? Is it because they have such compassion on you and they just want to give away their product? They know a principle. Give and it shall be given unto you. Yeah. I mean, smart business people, they're going to give good service. How many like to go back to a restaurant where the waitress, she was rude and crude? Here you go, feed yourself. You like tipping them too, don't you? The only thing I hate about, the only thing I like about, excuse me, a bad waitress is I save money. Brother Kimmel would give them more. I said, why do you do that? He says, they're probably having a bad day and they need something. Bless his heart. It's the way he was. See, he learned a principle that I'm still learning. Give. But oh, how we need to learn that. God blesses that. So God has this system. He calls it tithing. It's the first 10% of our income. God says that's His. I've learned something. After I've given Him His, if I'm really given, I'm going to take it out of mine. Which, oh, by the way, isn't mine anyways. It's His too. And what's wonderful is you can't outgive God. You can't outgive Him. It's simply amazing to me. You say, haven't you ever been without money? Yeah, most of my life. But God has always supplied. Always supplied what the needs were. And God's been so good about it. I'm thinking right now, one time we went over to the Civic Auditorium. And by the way, it's for sale. Anybody wants to buy it? I was thinking about it. So I have such sweet memories of that place. Actually, that was brand new when I was a little kid. We used to sit clear up in the top and take... Don't tell anybody. We used to take pea shooters. We'd tape them together so they're about that long. And we'd look for all the... I'm sorry, guys. Bald-headed guys, and we'd try to hit them. What are you laughing about? You did it too, and your mom never knew until just now. I love her. When she laughs all over. Amen. Amen. That's good. I forgot what I was going to say. We went over. Going to go to the circus. And we didn't have hardly any money, but want to take the kids to the circus. And I thought, you know, we can get in the nosebleed section. After all, when they do the trapeze act, we'll be pretty close. And we walk in. I'm standing in line. And we had some others with us. In fact, I think there were some cousins along or something. My kids might remember this. And I'm standing in line, and a guy comes up to me. He says, "Come here." I thought, well, he said, "Come here." I said, well, you know, it kind of bothered me. I'd never had anybody do that before. And he says, "Come on outside. I don't want to lose my place in line." I look behind me, and I'm last, so it's not a big deal. I walk out the door, and he hands me these tickets. And he says, "I want to turn these in, but they won't take them back." And he says, "It really makes me angry." He says, "So you take them, you won't have to pay. That'll rob them a little bit." Do you know where I was at? Front row. It was like telephone, you know. You reach out and touch someone. And all that took place. Couldn't see the highway act, but we could see everything else. God, you know, just one of the little things God has done through the years. God does those things. God wants to bless us and to do things. Oftentimes we don't see it, we don't look for it, we don't realize what God's doing in our lives, and we don't see how God's blessing so many times. And so often we look and we think, well, I did that and I figured it out. All those times I figured out, I look back now and I realize it was God showing me the direction and the way through it all. For 2 years, this church survived on less money per week than I had been making myself. I look back and people were giving. It was just, there was not enough to give. And jobs had gotten scarce, and the few folks we had. And honest to goodness, I do not know how at the end of the year the books balanced. I mean, there should have been red ink everywhere. But as a church, we stayed faithful to our missionaries. And God blessed. See, God wants to bless in our lives if we'll believe Him and put Him first. And why do we do that to start with? Why would we want to give? Because we love God. But I believe something else that's very important, and that is because we also want to see through our church, through our missions, through all these things, we want to see people come to know Christ as Savior. And every time that basket is passed and I put my tithe and my offering in there, I am saying to God, I love you and I love those that we're going to be reaching with it. And those that are going to get ministered as a result of that. What a privilege it is. You ever think about this? How many hours a week you work, Sterling? 40, 50? When you tithe, let's say it's 50 hours. That's 5 hours of pay you're putting in there. It's 5 hours of your life. And some people say, "Well, I'm not working for God like you are, preacher." Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. He's good. Amen? And why are we doing it? Because there's people who need Christ, their Savior. There may be somebody in this room today that needs Christ their Savior. And a whole lot of folks are sitting here today saying, "Amen, we want you to get saved." That's why we keep the doors open. That's why we do what we do. Because we want you to come to Christ. And in fact, we get disappointed when they don't. I heard this lady right here yesterday tell her workmate about her church. Am I right, Denise? I can't remember the lady's name. And when she first saw me, I thought I noted a little look of like, "Oh boy." And she kept at it, and when it was done, this lady said, "Man, it was good to meet you." What's our purpose? We're trying to reach people like that. And like that goofy one that we reached finally. I say that lovingly, okay? You are a little goofy. We know that too. We don't want you any other way. By the way, if Denise never talks to you, look at her arms because they're probably folded and her eyes are shut. Not a whole lot of difference there, buddy. I just want you to know that one, okay? Folks, I love you. God loves you. When we love God, what do? We give to Him. What do each other? We give to each other. It's not necessarily money. It's ourselves. Father, today, thank you that you so loved, you gave. Lord, you've been so gracious to us, so wondrous. And God, sometimes we get selfish and self-centered. And we want all the stuff to ourselves. We want what's yours, plus what's ours. And it's like what Haggai said, we put it in bags with holes in it. Because you're not plugging the holes any longer. God, I pray that you might help us learn valuable truths. Lord, I pray for our teenagers. They might learn this at a young age. Lord, I pray for each and every one. We might learn these valuable truths. That this wonderful gospel we have might continue to go forth in this city of ours and through our missionaries and all that you've allowed to take place. Lord, I pray for your blessing. I pray, oh God, that you would deal with each of our souls, that we not be selfish, but we might be those who give. Those who are willing to give of ourselves, our substance. Lord, I thank you. We have that privilege. I pray you might bless in these moments. Lord, no doubt in this room is somebody who don't know Christ their Savior, somebody who needs Christ. Maybe they think they're saved, but they've not really been. God, only you can reveal that. Maybe they've been pretending. They think they have everybody fooled, but God, you've never been fooled, and most likely they aren't themselves. Dear God, just do that work today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.